Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned to the newest edition of the Fistful of Cash podcast. I am your host, Dale Lippin, in here with the, what are you, Sergeant Major, First Sergeant? What is your actual rank when it comes to storming Area 51? What have you been bestowed with?
Oof, that's a good question. I'd go with Gunner.
So you're a gunner. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Are you a gunny?
A gunner, to a chief warrant officer. I'll
okay.
go with that.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good though. Yeah. So, I mean, let me ask you this. I know that you're fully committed to storming Area 51. Do you think that once, I mean, because of course there will be casualties. Do you feel like once bodies start falling, do you think that your fellow comrades have the mustard, if you will, to keep charging forward, despite taking, you know, what can only be assumed as catastrophic losses?
Listen, this is insane. So the amount of people that have actually signed up for this would make them the fifth largest army in the world. It's 1.5 million now, right?
It's something, it's very close to that. I saw it, yeah. It was like 1.2. So,
and then you've got the reports that every hotel within 100 miles of Area 51 has been booked for the weekend of September 20th. This is, I'm not trying to put this politically correct, but not that I want to see people die, but damn it, with this would be natural selection at its finest. If you're dumb enough to start or storm a military base to get them aliens, then you're dumb enough to catch some brass to the forehead.
Here's what I don't understand, right? Is that how has nobody told these dummies that all the alien shit's at Wright Patton, Ohio? It's not in Area 51. Like, they may test some, there may be some technology there, maybe, but any and all, like, real deal Holyfield alien stuff is going to be at Wright Patterson. That's where it's at. I mean, it's either going to be Wright Pat or Andrews. There is no in between. I really don't see it, but, you know, it's pretty wild, man. You know, I'm going to make a reference here and I know you're not going to get it. However, art imitating life kind of deal. There is a podcast series that, was done a while back called Alice Isn't Dead that was had to deal with like sort of like zombie alien type creatures that existed that nobody knew except for the people that were affected by them. And they sort of did a very similar thing to what we're seeing now. There was like a grassroots movement where all these people then met up in the desert and stormed this base, this abandoned military base where all these monster alien things were known to live. So it's just a very weird, parallel there that's, you know, I listened to a podcast with something very similar to this. You know, just citizens storming a base. This was a couple years ago. So just very strange that it's all coming together now. I think this is honestly, I think if anybody is hoping that this doesn't happen, I believe it would be Joe Rogan, because the moment that somebody gets killed, they're going to blame Joe Rogan for it.
Yeah.
They're going to say, Rogan, you had the power to stop this and you didn't. Mm-hmm. Even though I think he has publicly condemned it. I think he has said, this is a dumb idea. Please don't do this.
But another thing with Joe Rogan, has Joe Rogan done the Face app?
I don't know if he has or not.
So is he in cohorts with Vladimir Putin? Because, you know, it's a Russian based company. So instantly, right. Everybody in America is like, boom, Russian spies.
Well, you know, I put our picture up on the Instagram of us. If you somehow need facial recognition for me. I mean, just, I don't know what the hell you do with that, but go for it. I mean,
right. And it's not only that, it's the Face app, you know, they everybody's copying, pasting their terms and conditions.
Right.
Check the Facebook terms and conditions, check Twitter terms and conditions, check Instagram terms and conditions. They all have very similar, not this exact same wording, but very similar terms and conditions. So you've already given up the rights to your pictures every time you post a picture of you and your side chick on Facebook. So,
well, dude, you should be posting pictures of you and your side chick on Facebook. That's reckless.
Some people don't care.
That's true. That is, you know what? That's true. Some people do not care. You're right. Well, I'll tell you what I don't care for on top of posting pictures of your side chick on Facebook.
Greg Hardy.
Thank you, man. I'll tell you what, man, we're here, man. I do not care about Greg Hardy at all. We will be suggesting a no play on this fight. Right now it's at a pick 'em. He's taking on Juan Adams, who has been underwhelming at best. Greg Hardy is a piece of garbage. I'm not giving him any more airtime. So this main card breakdown will continue on minus the Greg Hardy fight. We are suggesting a no play on that. If you want to play it, go for it. We are not playing it. First fight though is a main, or on the main card is a heavyweight fight that has a little bit of implications that people might care about. It is a rematch. Andre Arlovsky was successful the first time he fought Ben Rothwell. Oh, so many years ago, but the Pitbull still hanging around, man. Andre Arlovsky taking on Ben Rothwell. Arlovsky 27-19, which is a ton for heavyweight fights. Only eclipsed by Ben Rothwell sitting at 36-10. You know, how are you feeling about this? I'll give you the odds here too. I don't know if you have it in front of you. Let me pull these up real quick. Rothwell is sitting at a -190 to Arlovsky's +155. Arlovsky, man, people have been saying that dude's been knockout prone for years now, but I can't remember the last time I saw the guy get finished. Can you? I think the chin is either well protected or strong or back or what? What do you think?
Well, what's been longer since Arlovsky's been finished or since he's won a fight? Because what's been like a year and a half now?
He won March of 2018.
Yeah, so a year and a half, basically.
Yeah.
It's two dinosaurs fighting each other. I'd have to go with Rothwell. He's got a better ground game. So if they stand and throw hands, it's going to be who lands the first solid punch probably. But Ben Rothwell's probably going to take him down to the mat and lay on him and I'm not looking forward to this fight at all, at all. There's no appeal to this for me.
Last time Andrei Arlovsky was finished was January 28th of 2017. And that is when he got punched off of his feet by Francis Ngannou. Since then, he has fought Marcin Tybura, Junior Albini, Stefan Struve, Tai Tuivasa, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Walt Harris, and Augusto Sakai. All of which went to decision. So, the king of Kenosha, weird Ben Rothwell. I don't know if Ben Rothwell gets him out of there, which is a weird thing to say in a heavyweight fight that you really can't bank on a finish. Ben Rothwell's got sneaky submissions. Arlovsky was submitted by Josh Barnett, similar body type as Ben Rothwell. So maybe a flyer there, but both of these guys are coming off, are trying to end losing streaks. You know, Rothwell's lost two in a row to JDS and Blagoy Ivanov. And then you've got the, Arlovsky, who hasn't won a fight in forever. So, but I will give this to Arlovsky. He is one of the more active heavyweights out there. I think at 190, though, I'm pretty sure odds makers have this one right. I feel good at Rothwell at minus 190. I'd even feel good at Rothwell by decision. You know, I don't see either one of these guys with the finishing capabilities that they once had. And with how smart Arlovsky, well, I don't know if it's smart because he's lost four in a row, but how tentative, there you go, Arlovsky's been fighting. I don't see him being finish hungry here. He'd really have to turn the lights out on Rothwell, even on something he probably didn't intend to turn the lights out on. You know, sort of like we saw with the, who was it that got sat down by a jab last event? Damn it. Somebody got sat down with a jab.
Josh Emmett put.
Yeah, Josh Emmett put Bechdick on Queer Street with a jab.
That's yes, Mirsad Bechdick. Yes, yes, exactly.
So something like that is probably about the closest thing that you're going to see to a finish unless Rothwell somehow gets a submission here. But minus 190, Rothwell's the play. Rothwell is the play. Moving
on. What's Rothwell by decision? Do you have the odds on that?
I don't have it yet. Those plays don't come out till like Friday after weigh-ins and all that stuff. So we might, if we want to update it, we'll put it on Instagram, which if you guys don't follow us on Instagram, please do Fistful of Cash podcast on Instagram. Next fight, Alex Hernandez coming back after being humbled by Cowboy, taking on Francisco Trinaldo. Francisco Trinaldo, obviously a little bit older, wiser, sitting at 23-6. Hernandez, 10, and now he's got that one on his record, 10-1 for Alexander the Great. Hernandez sitting at minus 185, Trinaldo at plus 150. I think Trinaldo's got a better chance in this fight than people are giving him credit for. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm seeing Hernandez at 10-2. I just, when you said that, it just popped out to me. He lost the split decision when he fought in Hero FC.
Okay.
But yeah, regardless, I don't see Alexander Hernandez coming out the way he did against Cerrone, going absolutely balls to the wall and trying to finish Trinaldo in the first 30 seconds like he did with Cowboy. I think he's going to learn from his mistake as far as fighting older, crafty veterans. That's not the way you go get a victory against guys like that. But I do like Hernandez to win this fight. Would you say you're getting him at minus what?
Minus 180? Well, yeah, minus 180.
Trinaldo's
sitting at plus 150. The thing with Trinaldo is you get sneaky good kickboxing. You get, you know, obviously you get decent submission offense and defense from him. You know, the thing, he struggles with physically stronger dudes, right? So if you look at who he lost to, James Vick, much bigger, longer, stronger. Lost to Kevin Lee, bigger, longer, stronger.
Michael Chiesa.
Yeah, Chiesa, again.
Who, obviously, we know is bigger and stronger than basically everybody in his weight class.
Right, right. So Gleason Tebow, again, another just muscle-bound jack dude. And if you look at those body types, with the exception of James Vick, they all meet the Alex Hernandez sort of archetype there. Chernaldo seems to struggle with guys with good gas tanks that are able to put a pace on him that are physically stronger than him. And I think if anything, where we're going to give, tip the hat to Hernandez, it's going to be the fact that he's going to be physically stronger than Chernaldo come fight day. So given that track record, I think minus 185 is a good play, or minus 180 rather is a good play.
Now, I don't remember the Chernaldo Paul Felder fight. It says the TKO by Dr. Stoppage. Was that a Felder
cut
suffering one of his 17 freak injuries? Okay, so it was a cut.
I think I'm pretty sure
that I didn't know if it was Paul Felder stepping on his left foot and breaking his femur or something ridiculous that happened to him. I don't remember that fight.
If I'm not mistaken, that was a cut. I could be wrong. I'm trying. I'll have to look after the fact. So as to not eat up more time, I believe that was from a cut. So next fight, speaking of James Vick back, taking on Dan Hooker, who's back after the absolute thrashing at the hands of Edson Barboza. Dan Hooker, 17-7. James Vick sitting at 13-3. Both of these guys are the guys that people look at, at one point in time appearing to be next on the horizon when it comes to title contenders, both of which had great winning streaks. But then they just hit those hiccups, man, that really set them back. Most recently, Hooker losing to Barboza, and then Vic with back-to-back setbacks of Gaethje and Paul Felder, who we just talked about. So looking at this fight, man, you're looking at Hooker's only been off. I feel like it's been a damn near a year, but that was in December, the Edson Barboza fight. I guess it's a kind of quick turnaround thinking about how bad he got beat up in that fight. I know it's July. So what? He took like half a year off. Yeah. Okay. That's enough time. James Vick sitting 13-3, fought in February against Felder. So, what are you thinking here? I know that Vick's size tends to be a problem with a lot of people, 6'3" at 155 pounds, but outside of a submission, I'm not sure where James Vick wins this fight. What do you think?
Yeah, it's really tough. Both these guys, when I don't want to say they don't have a quality win on their record, but when thrown up against the names that you hear tossed around as top of the weight class, they don't flourish. Both of them, it's like they disappear. Obviously, James Vick with his Paul Felder and Justin Gaethje bouts, even with who else did he lose to? Dariush?
Yeah.
And then obviously Dan Hooker with his Edson Barboza loss, which was bad. Even when he fought Yair Rodriguez, I think you're right with James Vick. His method of victory is submission. I don't see him knocking out Hooker because I think Dan Hooker's got more power than James Vick. And when it comes to being on the ground, I think that Dan Hooker can match James Vick, so I'd have to give the edge to Hooker here.
Yeah, I mean, my only thing is with Hooker spending a lot of time at featherweight, now he's moving up to 155. I wonder about like you look at Dan Hooker, right? And he lost a unanimous decision to Jason Knight. Jason Knight does not have good stand up, and there has long been rumor that James Vick is like some Texas State Golden Glove champion or whatever, whenever that happened. Now, I look at the stuff James Vick does as far as hand placement and where he keeps his chin and the way he enters and exits out of combination. And I'm just wondering how stiff that competition was to win those gold gloves, because he does not have the footwork, movement, or fundamentals that you would think a guy would have to be a Golden Glove champion. Now, all that to say too, that he was Golden Gloves in Texas. It's not the same as like coming from like a Northeast state. Like, if you were Pennsylvania Gold Gloves champ or New York Gold Gloves champ, that's a bad dude. as a bad dude or DC, something like that. But, you know, I wonder where James Vick, how he got that Golden Glove championship, because I don't see great fundamentals in that regard. That chin is always sky high and he always backs straight up, which is like the worst thing you can do as a tall fighter. I feel like Dan Hooker is going to be aware of that. What I'll be interested to see is the kicks of James Vick in this fight, seeing how much success Barboza had with kicks when it comes to Dan Hooker. James Vick loves throwing kicks, so we'll see what happens. You know, I'm kind of talking myself into James Vick here.
Right. And I don't want to bring up the past, but this sounds really familiar to when you talked yourself into James Vick against Justin Gaethje.
That's true. All right, you're going to take. Listen, I talked myself into Vick against Gaethje, but we still played Gaethje.
Right, because you came to your senses and you listened to Gaethje's doppelganger.
All right. Yeah. And you- hey, speak. Never mind. I'm not even going to tell him. Okay.
No. I know exactly what you're thinking.
Oh man. All right. We're not going to talk about that. All right. So yeah. No, I'm cool with the Hooker play here. I'm cool with that.
No, but see, now I originally was on James Vick and you talked me into Dan Hooker, and now you're talking yourself into James Vick. This is a really tough fight because I really think this could be fight of the night, or I really think that this could be
snooze fest.
I don't want to say snooze fest because for your average person watching, yeah, it could be a snooze fest, but both these guys are extremely skilled on the ground. So if you appreciate the, you know, mixed martial arts, bringing more than just throwing hands, it's not going to be a snooze fest. I think we should wait to make a play on this. I really do, because you sleep on it. All right. We don't want to give out plays because you were on Hooker, I was on Vick, and now I've talked myself into Dan Hooker, and you're talking yourself into James Vick. We need to sit down. We need to talk about it. We don't want to waste everybody's time. We'll talk about it, and we'll make the correct play on Instagram.
Juan Adams, Greg Hardy's a no play. Walt Harris versus Alexei Oleinik. Walt Harris finally looking like the Walt Harris that we all knew that he could be, sitting at 13-7. Oleinik, stupid amount of experience, 57-12-1. Given Walt Harris's last fight, dude, I mean, granted, it was against Sergey Spivak, but he came out and just looked amazing. Split decision win over Andre Arlovsky, and then a TKO win over Dan Spitz. Was winning the fight against Mark Godbeard until the illegal knee. So outside of that, you know, you're looking at a loss to Fabricio Werdum on like 3 hours notice, and then wins over Cyril Asker, Chase Sherman, and a split decision loss to Shamil Abdurakhimov. I think Walt Harris is coming into his own here, man. And I think this will be a showcase fight for him. If he can stay away from Oleinik and have Oleinik keep his hands off of him, you know, to avoid like the, you know, Ezekiel choke, Anaconda choke style thing. If he can do that, man, I feel confident in a Walt Harris play here if he can do those things. But that's a big if. Because there's no denying what the 42-year-old Alexei Oleinik game is going to be. It's going to be try to get a hold of you.
I mean, yeah, the guy Olenek's coming in with 47 wins via submission. That's absolute nonsense. I think that Walt Harris is going to see what Reem did to Alexei Oleinik in the first round when they fought, and yeah, I like Walt Harris's power in this fight, and I think he's going to win via knockout.
So I think a great play here is the fight doesn't go the distance. Whatever, if we can find that, I don't see it going distance. I don't think Oleinik has the gas tank for it, and he will be, you know, going up against Walt Harris, who's going to be trying to finish him. And if Walt Harris can't finish him, then the only way Oleinik wins is by finishing the fight. He's not going to win a decision here. So whenever that comes out, we might be able to get good odds on that as well, because as it stands right now, Walt Harris is only sitting at minus 155, Olenek at plus 125. Usually when you see odds that close, it's not, there's not exaggerated odds for finishes or inside the distance plays. So we might be able to get decent value on a finish play here. So something to look at, after weigh-ins on Friday to see when that actually comes out and see what the number's at. But I think Walt Harris, as far as fighters go, Walt Harris is the play.
I feel about this fight the same way it was, what, the Benavidez-Formiga fight. Walt Harris actually opened up as a minus 200, and he's been bet down to a minus 155. Whoever's putting money on Olenek, this, I'll say the same thing I did with the Benavidez-Formiga fight. When Benavidez got bet from a minus 200 down to a minus 110 before they walked out, keep doing it. Keep betting on Olenek. Give us better odds on Walt Harris, because I really like Walt Harris in this fight. Whether it's by first round, second round knock, I think the over-under is going to come out at probably 1.5 based off of Walt Harris's knockout power and based off Alexei Olenek's last performance against Alistair Overeem. Plus, it's heavyweights, so they're almost always at 1.5. I'd love to see Walt Harris even get down to like a minus 135. Because a minus 135 is going to warrant a multiple unit play on Walt Harris in my mind.
Yeah. All right, so let's touch on the main event. I'm going to preface this main event with, we're going to talk about the fighters, and the actual play is going to be, we're going to wait to make the play on Saturday. We'll let it be known what the play is going to be, because we have been unable to come to an agreement on this fight. The main event, Rafael Dos Anjos, 29-11, taking on Leon Edwards, 17-3. Welterweight is worth mentioning that's where this is taking place, because Dos Anjos, as you know, was the 155 champ, but has since moved up. So let's get into this a little bit, because looking at odds right now for this fight, let's see, where did I just had it right in front of me and I clicked away from it. Leon Edwards sitting at minus 130, RDA sitting at even money. I'm leaning towards camp RDA just based off cardio, grit, big show experience, and being able to take Leon Edwards into deep, deep water. However, you like Leon Edwards due to striking power and the ability to create and maintain distance. Obviously, these are direct contrast to one another. So what are you thinking?
It's tough, man. I don't want to take anything away from RDA based off it. We'll talk his last three fights. Obviously, Colby Covington, fucking hate him. Just laid on RDA on the cage for, you know, five rounds. But it was effective. He won a unanimous decision. Yes, he fought Kamaru Usman and got manhandled for five rounds. But it's Kamaru Usman, so it's hard to put that against him. His win against Kevin Lee, it's hard to give him a lot of credit for that, because Kevin Lee is probably the most underwhelming and underperforming fighter in the UFC right now that still gets tossed around as a title contender for some odd reason. And RDA looked good against Robbie Lawler, looked good against Neil Magny. Got pieced up by Tony Ferguson, but who doesn't? I'm talking myself into this. I don't like it. Because his losses are quality losses.
Yeah.
Eddie Alvarez, Tony Ferguson, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman. All four of those were either at the time or currently a holder of a belt.
Let me ask you this. Does Leon Edwards beat any of them?
I don't know. Because Leon Edwards doesn't – I know Leon Edwards hasn't fought the names that RDA has fought.
I don't think Leon Edwards beats any of the guys that beat that have beaten RDA. I really don't. Maybe Colby. He might be able to beat Colby, because I'm still unconvinced in Colby's abilities based on the fact that Damian Maia boxed his ears in. And if you're Colby Covington getting pieced up by Damian Maia, a guy like Leon Edwards should be able to surgically remove your eyebrows from your face. Should be. Now, I also thought the same thing about RDA when it came to Colby Covington fighting him, and Colby Covington rode him like a workhorse and just beat the hell out of him. So I don't know. That's the only one that I'm confused on.
Yeah. I mean, they both have losses to
Usman. Who blames that?
Right. Yeah.
Because I would have played.
And they both have wins over Cowboy. I didn't see the Leon Edwards Vicente Luque fight, so I can't speak on that. I watched him fight Brian Barberena. We talked about this prior. You said it. I like his ability to maintain the distance, and I like his striking ability. But RDA obviously has the grappling and the wrestling and the submission game. So it's two different styles contrasting each other. The one thing that we did agree on is Leon Edwards, you know, even with his striking ability, is a decision monster. And RDA at this age, I think, is going to rely on decisions a lot more than he used to in his career. So I really hope the over-under on these rounds come out at like 3.5. I have a fear it's going to be 4.5, but dude, I really hope it's 3.5 because then I love the over in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you can go 5 rounds with Tony Ferguson, I like the over. I mean,
they went through, RDA, that was a 3-round fight.
No, it was 5.
RDA versus Tony Ferguson was.
It was the main event of the Ultimate Fighter Latin America 3 finale. So it was the main event. So it was 5 rounds.
Oh shit! Yeah, I guess it was. All right. Yeah, you're right. I stand corrected. Yeah.
I don't want to pick a fighter. I want the odds to come out at 3.5 so right, we can pound the over.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that for right now. And then we'll make a fighter pick for the Instagram post on Saturday. But that's about it for the week, guys. Want to touch on top cities and all that kind of stuff. Thanks everybody that left us iTunes reviews this week. We've been going back and forth with Apple trying to figure out why some of them are showing up and some of them are not. So if you did submit one, go ahead and try to submit another one, see if it'll let it go through. And if you haven't, and this show has brought you any value whatsoever, whether it be money in your pocket, entertainment, whatever, please, if you feel so inclined, leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Pocket Cast, Player FM, Spotify, wherever. Just drop us a little review. It helps a lot to get the show seen more. Plus, we use it as sort of a litmus test to see whether or not we're doing a good job. But let's get into locations for last episode, Soup. I told you before we started, do you remember how many different countries? Ah, yes, downloads 15? In 15 different countries. You're very good. Do you think you can name all 15 of them?
I can't name all 15. I can. You know what? I'll give her a shot.
Yes.
So the U.S.
Yes.
Canada.
Sweden. No.
They must have got salty when I said that Peru was going to beat them in the World Cup. All right,
so U.S., Canada.
Spain.
Yes. Yes.
The UK.
Yes.
Australia.
Yes.
What am I at? 5? Okay. Well, this is 15. This is tough. Kazakhstan.
Wrong. You did take
it. Damn, took a shot. Shooters got to shoot. All right, go ahead.
All right.
Rattle them off.
The US, Canada, Australia, the UK, Hungary, Chile, New Zealand, Spain, Norway, Europe, Kenya, Ireland, Germany, Philippines, and Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan. Okay.
Top cities: Fayetteville, New York, Charleston, South Carolina, Solana Beach, California, Winnipeg, Las Vegas, Victoria, British Columbia, London, Pittsburgh, PA, and Bentley East in Victoria, wherever that's at. Let's see. Let's get a couple other ones in here. Chicago. Appreciate you guys. Honolulu, McGregor, Texas. As much as we talk about McGregor's, that's funny. McGregor, Texas, Hollywood, Florida. So Platinum Mike Perry listens to the show. Congrats, Platinum. Appreciate your patronage. Here's a good one for you, Soup. Toongabia. That's in New South Wales. Right. No, Toongabie. Sorry, Toongabie. Toongabie. Let me see here. Where's some other good ones? Castleford. Appreciate you guys in Castleford. We got a ton of Canadian cities, man. Love the fact that we're good with our neighbors up north. Appreciate that. You know, always love a good Canada goose. Always love a good Canada goose. I'll tell you right now, if you don't like Canada gooses, better let that one marinate.
Give me a poppers. Give me a poppers.
Let's see. Penfield, New York, East Malvern, Victoria, and Torrance, California, Newmarket, Ontario, and Mahwah, New Jersey. Appreciate you guys. Try to pick some of you guys that only have a couple downloads. Appreciate you. That's about it, man. Get this thing edited up, get it out, and we'll see everybody this weekend on social media if we don't talk to you before that. Or if we don't talk to you then, rather, we'll talk to everybody next week. What's the event next week? Is there one?
Is it the Frankie Edgar fight? Frankie
Edgar. It's the only good fight on that card of the week.
That card's so shitty.
They should have took this card and that card, combined them, put a decent pay-per-view together, and then just left the leftovers for the rest of us. Oh, it's terrible. All right, I'm out. Talk to you guys next week.
No. I've got a couple things I want to touch on here real quick. Just some MMA questions and stuff that's come up lately. So did you see Thiago Santos is having surgery on both knees? Okay. That's tough, dude. That's insane. I mean, what he already had, surgery on his right meniscus earlier this year, but I think he's going back in for obviously all the torn ligaments in his left knee. Plus, I think they're redoing his right meniscus, but, and Dana White shut down McGregor getting the winner of Khabib Poirier. He also shut down McGregor Masvidal. Can we start like a social media movement and have McGregor Gaethje so McGregor can be the latest victim on his highlight reel?
I think it's coming.
Because I want to see Justin Gaethje beat his stupid fucking Irish face in so bad. Like, as much as I want to see Gaethje Tony Ferguson, because I would just love to see that bloodbath, two guys that there is absolutely no quit in, I want to see Gaethje beat the hell out of Conor McGregor.
I'm with you 100%. And I think that's the fight that's going to be made, to be honest with you. Because the only fight you give him that isn't that is Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, and he doesn't.
He absolutely Conor doesn't does want not Tony want Ferguson. Tony.
No, he doesn't want that. And Dana White said that Cejudo needs to defend his flyweight belt next.
Joey two times. So. Flyweight championship. Finally. I'd love to see Benavidez win the flyweight belt, man. That guy's been around for forever. And, you know, he just was always held back by the fact that there was that guy by the name of Mighty Mouse up above him, you know? And he's already got a win over Cejudo. So run it back.
Yeah, and we really haven't had like a funny moment in the UFC since, you know, Derek Lewis with My Balls Is Hot. But props to Uriah Faber telling Henry Cejudo that he can triple CD his nuts when he's laying on his back in the octagon.
I did enjoy that. Always love a good D's nuts. Always love a good D's nuts.
Yes. Yeah. But that's all I got. Nothing, no big fight announcements. Nope.
I've seen nothing that's gotten, you know, made it move, if you will. I haven't seen a single thing that's made it move lately. So a couple plays that came up, a couple fights that got announced, but we posted them on Instagram suggesting early plays on it. That's why if you don't follow us on Instagram, you need to. Because when fights get announced, we will, you know, if I'm feeling a certain type of way about it, or we're feeling a certain type of way about it, we'll suggest a play right then and there before the line moves too much. So that's always a good option as well. So we've got a couple of those, but nothing crazy, nothing fight wise. It was really awesome. And Gregor Gillespie still sits without a fight, even though he's perfectly healthy.
It's garbage.
Yeah, garbage. What? Give me Gregor versus McGregor. A battle of McGregors.
Is there a worse matchup? There's not a worse matchup for him. I mean,
there's not a worse matchup. There isn't.
Talk about panic wrestling. Let Gregor get his hands on him, dude.
If people weren't so afraid to fight him, he'd be fighting for the lightweight belt right now.
Quick, off the top of the dome, Pacquiao.
Thurman's put to sleep.
Okay. Keith Thurman. Plus 130.
Wait. I haven't even looked. Thurman's an underdog.
Yep.
I'm putting a stack on it. It moved.
He opened as the favorite, and it has moved to Manny Pacquiao minus 150, Keith Thurman plus 130.
When's that? That's this weekend.
Yeah. Yes. Over under on rounds, 11.5, minus 370, the over. So if you like Keith Thurman by TKO, plus 310 for the under.
I'll do it right now.
That's interesting. That's real. Under 11.5. Oof. You might just play the under if you know what I mean? In case Pacquiao gets him out of there. I don't see Pacquiao getting him out of there. I like the Keith Thurman by knockout, which I wonder what that is. Cause then you're adding the plus, that's basically parlaying the plus 130 and the plus 310.
I'm pulling it up right now. Let me see here.
That shit. I mean, Thurman by knockout has to be at least 8-1.
I'm not seeing odds on it. If not more. Not on the book that I use. I can check on the book in which we do not speak of and see if it's on there.
Right. But what if you parlayed the two together, the plus 130 and the plus 310, so Thurman inside the distance, you're looking at an 8-1 on your money. So I will be tuned into that.
Why you don't acknowledge me?
For sure.
I'm not advising people to. I'm not advising anybody I'm just, to do that.
I don't condone reckless behavior. Unless
I got Keith Thurman by KO at plus 500 on the book we do not speak of.
See, that's just parlay him under 11.5.
Yep.
It's a 12-round fight, right? So why the hell would him by TKO be at plus 500 if you parlay the two, you're getting plus 800?
I don't know.
The book we do not speak of is pretty damn dumb. I think that's
it. Well, I'm just letting y'all know now. You may call it reckless behavior. I call it, I'm about to buy a frigging golf cart with my winnings. I'm throwing a stack. So just letting you know. All right. That's all I got. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah. Football season's right around the corner, guys. I sent out my fantasy football text as the commissioner this week. One of us has the worst odds at the first overall pick because they won the league last year. And one of us has the best odds because they finished in dead last. I'll let you guys figure out who that is. And until next time, clear eyes, full fist, can't lose.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.